Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A major ice storm in North Dakota knocked out power to thousands. Lee Weiss manages an HVAC company in Fargo.
Our phones just lit up and it's been going nonstop all day. We've got a long list of homes that have some pump failing because of the power outages.
The North Dakota governor has declared a statewide emergency because of the storm. Over a million people are expected in New York's Times Square to watch the ball drop on New Year's Eve. Mayor Eric Adams.
We will be out here with our canines, our horsebacks, our drones, our helicopters, our boats. The full complement of our public safety apparatus will be on display.
After Russia launched a massive barrage of missiles and drones on Ukraine, President Zelensky says he's visited the area that was heavily attacked. He says he honored the soldiers who defended the town. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is rejecting a complaint to keep Donald Trump's name off next year's presidential ballots in Wisconsin. Minocqua activist Kirk Bangstad filed the complaint yesterday. The recusal is a matter of commission policy. Bangstad now says he'll file a lawsuit to keep Trump's name off Wisconsin ballots. High rates of flu, RSV, and COVID-19 persist in Wisconsin. State epidemiologist Dr. Tom Hout says he doesn't expect any let-up until sometime next month.
We're really optimistic and hopeful that we will see peak activity in January along with the other viruses, and we will start seeing a decline shortly after that.
Two children under the age of 5 died from RSV in Wisconsin last week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Eau Claire hockey fans may soon have an easier way to watch games at Hobbs Ice Arena. According to a WQOW report, the Eau Claire Parks and Recreation Department is solidifying a deal to put cameras in the arena to stream hockey games and figure skating. The Parks Department would partner with a company called Live Barn, which streams a number of other local ice arenas throughout the county. Fans would be able to subscribe to Live Barn for access, and the games could begin streaming as soon as next season. Employment data in Wisconsin is looking good heading into 2024. According to the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, coming into December, the state had an unemployment rate of 3.3%, well lower than the national average of 3.7%. Data is still being collected for December, but in November, Wisconsin had over 3 million people working and 1,700 employees were added to the workforce. The biggest concern for the state's workforce heading into 2024 is a lack of people to fill open jobs. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Badgers hockey in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's hockey team skated to a 3-0 shutout of Air Force to advance to the finals in the holiday faceoff tournament at Milwaukee's Five Serve Forum. The Badgers improved to 15-4 for the season, ranked 6th in the nation. Tonight, they'll play Northeastern in the finals. Wisconsin head coach Mike Hastings on what it means to bring Badgers hockey to Five Serve Forum.
You know, we represent the entire state, not just Madison. And so for us to be able to go in and share what we have here and try and go in and represent the entire state in a different zip code, yeah, it's special.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. I asked wide receiver Romeo Doubs on what to expect from Minnesota's defense.
Really experienced players on defense. You know, they love the pressure. That's been one of their biggest things throughout this year. It just comes down to us just playing good football overall. So.
That's Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Abundant sunshine today will have us smiling from ear to ear. Plus, we've got those mild temperatures as highs flirt with 40 degrees. Tonight, we'll see areas of patchy fog building in, which could turn to freezing fog by early tomorrow morning, as temperatures fall below freezing into the mid-20s. It's 44 at our studios.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Well, we have another problem with the Freedom Caucus. They call it the Freedom Caucus. I mean, it's really the Slavery Caucus. It's the Fascist Caucus. This is the caucus of the rightest of right wings of the Republican Party. And here's what they've just done. Remember, they're all on vacation right now. And you might think, well, Matt, they went on vacation in the House on December 15. They had a week, 10 days before Christmas. And then after Christmas, they have another week and New Year's Eve. Then I suppose they'll get back to work. Well, you'd be wrong. They're not getting back to work. They're not getting back to work for yet another week. They took themselves 3 weeks off. Not getting back to work till January 8th, but a couple of them have shot their mouth off. And here's what they've said. They've warned their leaders, Republican leaders, i.e. Mike Johnson, and I suppose Scalise and Stefanik, against any spending agreement with the Democrats that is different from the Fiscal Responsibility Act, the FRA, that was passed back in the spring after negotiations with Joe Biden and Kevin McCarthy. Now, here's the status. It takes 12 spending bills to fund our government. And this will be for fiscal year 24. In other words, we're starting now, and it'll end September. Their fiscal year is September 30th. So it'll end September 30th. And it takes 12 bills. The Senate's passed three so far. Three. There's nine to go. And that doesn't even include the House. And there are two deadlines coming up. Remember the continuing resolution. It continued funding the government till January 17 for a couple of agencies until February 2nd for the rest of them. Well, let me tell you something. January 17 is coming up pretty quick, less than 3 weeks. And February 2nd is coming up pretty quick too. And with all of these things, the bills have to be drafted. They have to be read by somebody. They have to be floated by the financial people to make sure that they're right. They have to be voted on in the House, and they have to be voted on in the Senate, then sent to President Biden to sign them. And the 17th, January 17, is coming up. So here's what's exactly going on. The FRA, the Fiscal Responsibility Act, it said basically that we are going to fund things at last year's levels, the fiscal 22's levels. So this would have been fiscal 23 and going forward. at last year's levels. And the problem with that is there is inflation. Now, Joe Biden has inflation under control better than any country in the world. You know, gasoline's under $3 a gallon. In general, everything is coming down. But there is, at least, you want a little inflation. You want 2%, maybe 2.5%. Japan is an example of deflation. Back in the 80s, it was one of the high-flying economies. They've had deflation now for 40 years almost. China is experiencing deflation. Deflation is the worst because people don't spend, they don't buy, then factories close, stores close. Deflation is bad. So the inflation, a certain amount is necessary. Let's say it's 2%, 2.5%. If you pass a spending bill, which is what the FRA does for fiscal 23, which we're coming out of now, that freezes thing at fiscal 22, that's a cut of 2.5% at least. Nowadays around 3%. Why do I say that? The federal government has to buy things. It buys office buildings or builds them, buys vehicles, buys gasoline, buys paper, pays salaries. It buys, shovels to shovel the snow around federal buildings. I mean, all of those things cost more, but you've frozen it at last year's level. So therefore you have to do less of that. The other kicker in the FRA was that if they don't work things out by April 1, April 1 is 3 months away, there's another 1% cut. What the Freedom Caucus people want is two things. One is they want everything for next year cut even more than I just described. But if they can't achieve that, they want strict compliance with the FRA. One of their problems is that after the FRA was passed, and that's the only way that McCarthy was able to ramp through a continuing resolution to fund us as long as he did, I think it was, end of September, whatever it was, there was a side agreement that was verbal by the leadership of the House and the Senate, bipartisan, that they would increase non-defense spending over the FRA by $69 billion. The reason for that is this. Defense was going to pass. The Republicans did everything they could to hurt our military, denying promotions, denying civilian promotions, all of this. But they realized that if they didn't vote to fund the military, and we have people deployed in combat, even the most stubborn and obtuse backer of the Republican Party ain't going to like that. So they say non-defense spending can go up $69 billion, and defense spending had a nice increase, a 5% raise for troops and all that. They are now reneging on that. They don't want the $69 billion. And they also want a deeper cut, period. Now, one of the things that they're holding hostage is Ukraine aid. They're also holding hostage Israel aid. They're holding hostage things like Taiwan aid. They're holding hostage money at our border to gain control of our border. All of this is to hurt Joe Biden. Now, let me tell you something about Ukraine aid, and then I'm going to tell you something about how this gets done, and Israel aid for that matter. The Ukraine aid, last night, Russia launched well over 100, they think about 120 missiles, cruise missiles, hypersonic missiles, against civilian targets in Ukraine. And they launched 36 drones between 11 p.m. and 3 a.m. last night. They launched them against Kyiv, Lviv, Odessa, Dnipro, Kharkov, Zaporizhia. They bombed and obliterated a maternity hospital, a shopping center, apartments, schools. What happened was, because of our Patriot missiles and some UK air defense missiles, the Ukrainians were able to shoot down most of them, but they could shoot down all of them. This is a genocidal attack. This is sadism. Ukraine is standing up to Russia. One of the missiles launched against Ukraine, the Russians launched over Poland, which is a violation of, this is a NATO country. This is a violation of international law, and then it landed in Ukraine to test us. And now Poland is deciding with our NATO allies in Europe if there should be a response. The Republicans have got to understand, and those of you who support Republicans, that Russia is not doing this just to get Ukraine. It's doing it to get the Baltic states back, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, Poland. They once occupied Hungary. They occupied at one time Romania, controlled it. What was called Czechoslovakia, now it's the Czech Republic and Slovakia. This is all in danger. And the very brave men and women of Ukraine are standing up to them. The sad thing about our Congress, and here's my solution, is that there are about 350 votes in the House for Ukraine aid and Israel aid. And there's about 80 votes in the Senate for both. But each chamber has rules that let a small minority stop it. In the Senate, it's unanimous consent. In the filibuster in the House, it's this jury rig thing the Republicans did that any one House member can say that the chair is vacant, yank him out of there, and then eight or so Republicans can pick the next chair. That has got to stop. One of the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Miami, Wisco Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. First of all, I'm going to wish you a Happy New Year right away before I get into what I'm going
to
say.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate that. And we've got a lot of good football coming up here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ron Johnson, that's Putin's buddy, so I don't need to say any more than that. But here's what Biden wanted to do, and this really slays me. He wanted to hire more IRS agents, staff, to go after the people, the tax cheats, the people, the very wealthy or whoever are cheating on their taxes. And I forget how much money they said they were going to be able to retrieve from just doing that. And the Freedom Caucus and the Republicans, they don't want any IRS, well, bare minimum. So they could fix a lot of these problems just doing what Biden wanted to do, hire more IRS agents, and everybody pays their fair share of taxes. But you're right. They're going to do whatever they can do to hurt Biden. It's ridiculous. And in turn, that hurts all of us, all of us. I said it the other day, I kind of blew up because Biden wants to save Social Security also and Medicare, and these guys aren't even on board with that.
Right. Well, not only that, he's a strong pro-union president, and he's strongly for the middle class, and they don't like that either. Okay, coming up, there is increasing allegations that Clarence Thomas may have committed tax fraud.
Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
four out of five employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's been increasing discussion about potential prosecution of Clarence Thomas for tax fraud. Let me give you the background on it, and let me tell you what the law is. It's undisputed that Clarence Thomas, a long time ago, was complaining to some right-wing Republican donors that his salary was too low and that he and some of the other judges, justices, might have to leave and take a job in the private sector to make more money. And the donors were very concerned about that because they own these guys lock, stock, and barrel. And immediately after that, the following occurred. Clarence Thomas received $267,000 to buy an RV. It was called a loan, but then it was forgiven. He was taken on luxury vacations, luxury private flights. Tuition was paid for his nephew, whom he was raising at a boarding school. His mother's house was bought at a price that I don't know that she could have sold it for. New roof put on, fence put on, and she stays there rent-free. He has characterized all this as a gift from, quote, dear friends, good friends. But he did tell one of these dear friends that his limited salary might make him leave the court. Here's the law on this. If you give somebody something, they don't have to pay income tax. You have to pay gift tax. I don't know if these people did pay gift tax. But if you give it to them, not because they're a natural object of your generosity, but because you want to keep them on the court, then it's income to Clarence Thomas, and he has to pay income tax, and he hasn't for 20 years. He also left it off his ethics filing, misleading people so they wouldn't raise the issue, and there is a charge for false ethics filing. That is being discussed right now. My own view is that what happened was tax fraud. We're going to the lines. Carmela of Milwaukee. Thanks for calling, Carmela. What's in your mind today?
Hi, Happy New Year, Matt. First, I just want to say it takes a political science degree to figure a lot of this out, and I definitely don't have one. So thank you for helping breaking it down. When it comes to, I want to talk about Ron Johnson a little bit and the fake electors. I still don't understand why there's no, Josh Call hasn't indicted them basically, or the other ones. And you were talking earlier that potentially Giuliani could be, we could do a lot of the people, they don't have to be from Wisconsin pretty much. And I don't understand, especially after the January 6th committee broke down a lot of this stuff. I don't recall if they did the fake electors, but I know a lot of the other stuff that was going on. So can you explain why it takes so long? I know justice is slow, but sometimes it seems a little bit too slow.
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Carmela. Thank you. And frankly, you did break it down just fine. And you said it exactly right. There's the law, and then there's what's called prosecutorial discretion. The law is exactly what Fannie Willis did. Fannie Willis is a very aggressive prosecutor. And there was a conspiracy, and Chesbro, I don't know how much time he spent in Georgia, if at all. Trump went there to campaign, but yeah, how much hands-on stuff he did there on the fake electors, I don't know. And Giuliani, the same. And yet she threw a net over all of them. She's a fisherman. And she went out and cast a net over all of them. Because under the law of conspiracy, you don't have to physically be in the jurisdiction where the crime occurred. And you don't have to even know who all the other co-conspirators are. All you have had to do is to deliberately do an act in furtherance of the conspiracy. So she did, she has a lot of guts. She went after Trump himself and Giuliani and Mark Meadows. In Michigan, the Nessel, I think is her name, the attorney general, went off to, after their fake electors. And I think they have 16 of them. They have more electoral votes than we do. And Jack Smith has gone after Donald Trump himself. And as I say, Meadows and Giuliani already snagged in Georgia. Arizona and Nevada are next up. Nevada has indicted now their fake electors, and Chesbro is riding on them. Arizona has an investigation going. I forget whether they just indicted them or not, but they're clearly on the way to indictment. New Mexico is another state that was part of it. Pennsylvania, previous caller called in and pointed out that Pennsylvania snuck out of it because their electors were smarter than the others. They're fake electors. They didn't say they were fake electors. They said, we are alternate electors in the event a court decides Trump won. Well, the court has already decided Trump didn't win, including the Pennsylvania court. So it would make it harder to nab them because they have that disclaimer. Now, why aren't they being prosecuted in Wisconsin? They all say, well, we didn't know what we were doing. You can't get away with that in criminal law. You can't walk in and hold up a liquor store and say, gee, I must have been drunk, or I don't know what I was doing. That doesn't cut it. That doesn't cut it. These are very, very sophisticated people. A couple that went on an airplane from Wisconsin with the Wisconsin state elector, fake elector data, and the Michigan fake elector data. And Ron Johnson had them in his pocket, gave them to his chief of staff to give to Pence. Now, Ron Johnson lives in Wisconsin. He's here. He doesn't have to, but he's here. We know he's here. We know where he is. And he was part of it. And Chesbro's testimony to the Michigan investigators I talked about earlier, they mentioned Ron Johnson. They said, we should have given him to Ron Johnson, but we had given him to Scott Perry's guy to take over. Well, they can indict Scott Perry, too, in Wisconsin. I don't care if he's ever been in Wisconsin. Why isn't it being done? I would recommend you can call the attorney general's office. Prosecutors are not required by law to prosecute any particular. They have what's called prosecutorial discretion. In this particular one, my concern is that Fannie Willis is leading the charge. Jack Smith, the AG, attorney general in Michigan. But these are very, very brave people. They could use some backup. They could use some covering artillery. And that is here in Wisconsin, where jurisdiction is a laydown. Ron Johnson is here. He's in it up to his eyeballs. Chesbro actually was born here and grew up here, and he's in it up to his eyeballs. He's cooperating right now. The fake electors, some of them, one of them, they're involved in flying this stuff to Washington, D.C., and they hide themselves, and they call it the Green Bay Sweep, maligning our state. I agree. If I were attorney general, I would have prosecuted them last year. I mean, I would have asked you them last year. Okay, I see you on the lines. I see you in the lines. Do not hang up. Very briefly, you're going to get some news. You're going to get some weather. And then I'm going to talk about the violence in some demonstrations and get back to you in the lines right away.
What Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's economy ended the year in good shape. The state's unemployment rate is 3.3%. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development says a record 3 million people plus were working in Wisconsin at the end of November. The Journal Sentinel reports the biggest problem with Wisconsin's economy is not enough workers to fill job openings. Toys should be safer than ever. Congress passed tougher regulations in 2008, but experts are still urging parents to inspect their kids' holiday gifts.
Especially if you're talking about a younger child. But inspect that toy, make sure that none of the parts have come loose. Nothing could come off that could endanger them or be a choking hazard.
Teresa Murray is with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The town of Washington is pushing for a state bill that could bring protections for municipalities facing annexation. The town of Washington and city of Eau Claire recently settled a contentious plan for the city to annex a plot of land near Deerfield Road for the Orchard Hills housing development. The bill would create an urban town designation for towns like Washington, which would make them exempt from extraterritorial zoning by nearby cities. The bill is currently with the Committee on Transportation and Local Government. The United Way of Wisconsin has announced a new confidential phone service to connect residents with critical resources. 211 Wisconsin will help residents find food, housing, transportation, utility assistance, and interpersonal violence community-based service providers. The search tool has been designed to make it as simple as possible to connect Wisconsinites with the services that they need in each county. The navigation tool will be free for anybody to use as an enhancement of a local service. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Badgers hockey in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers men's hockey team skated to a 3-0 shutout of Air Force to advance to the finals in the holiday faceoff tournament at Milwaukee's Five Serve Forum. The Badgers improved to 15-4 for the season, ranked 6th in the nation. Tonight, they'll play Northeastern in the finals. Wisconsin head coach Mike Hastings on what it means to bring Badgers hockey to Five Serve Forum.
You know, we represent the entire state, not just Madison. And so for us to be able to go in and share what we have here and try and go in and represent the entire state in a different zip code, yeah, it's special.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. I asked wide receiver Romeo Doubs on what to expect from Minnesota's defense.
Really experienced players on defense. You know, they love the pressure. That's been one of their biggest things throughout this year. It just comes down to us just playing good football overall. So.
That's Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Abundant sunshine today will have us smiling from ear to ear. Plus, we've got those mild temperatures as highs flirt with 40 degrees. Tonight, we'll see areas of patchy fog building in, which could turn to freezing fog by early tomorrow morning, as temperatures fall below freezing into the mid-20s. It's 44 at our studios.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to Metflin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Cassandra Middleton, my friend. Thanks for calling, Cassandra. What's in your mind today?
Matt. Thanks for taking my call. And before I begin, I want to wish you a happy new year.
And, well, happy new year.
Yes. And, well, you are not going to like me today because I am going to disagree with you regarding Ukraine. Make sure you have heard about Zelensky and his efforts to recruit 500,000 men to fight in a winter or early spring offensive. And I have just read the reports from many retired military officers who are combat officers, many national security advisors, and they have all more or less stated that the war with Ukraine is over. And that's because you just cannot train that number of men and have them prepare to fight a war in just a couple of months. And if you think about our military, you know, they are trained for at least a good year, you know, 6 to 8 weeks basic training, and depending upon their specialty, that's another 6 to 9 months. And then there's additional training. And so when they go out into the field, they are highly trained. And time is just not on Ukraine's side to, bring the fight
Angela,
to...
Yeah. No, I get your point, and I thank you. But let me respectfully disagree. If you are going to be annihilated as a country, if you're a country of 45 million people and 7 million have gone away as refugees, and a savage, brutal, sadistic adversary is coming against you, here's the analogy. If you're chased by a grizzly bear, you're going to run the fastest 100-yard dash you ever ran in your life. And the same thing here. The Russians are sending in prisoners and people from mental asylums. The Russians are genocidal sadists, and we need Ukraine. So we have to get them more weapons. Now, Zelensky, I have a lot of admiration for him. He has said he needs 500,000 more people. That'd be the equivalent of 1.5 million in Russia, which is about three times the size. But Putin's also done something like that. He doesn't train them. I think we have special forces advisors training these people. It's not ideal. I agree with you. And I know our training. I went through Navy training. But if suddenly you're told that an enemy is 10 miles away and is going to kill you and is going to rape every woman in the village, you're going to find some very, very tough Ukrainian fighters. So I thank you for the call, and call more often. And by the way, everybody, Cassandra's a veteran. I really enjoy calls from my fellow veterans. Thank you, Cassandra. Joe of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Joe?
What's on my mind, Matt, is just the variety and wonderfulness of your callers and your audience. What we've heard today, just these last two calls alone, have been very interesting in terms of opening up debate and different perspectives and thoughts. So two things that I wanted to say today. First off, that we're coming up, okay, it's New Year. We're getting into a brand new year, and this is going to be a tumultuous year, without a doubt. The propaganda is going to be on record high. It's going to take a lot to sort through to find out what is exactly true, what can be supported by facts, and what's just blanket garbage, but well-spoken and repeated again and again and again, which is how propaganda works. So I just wanted to offer a thanks again for the show, and I love the fact that it's gone to 2 hours. It feels like there's always material to talk about, and particularly as we head into this next year, I think it's going to be sadly action-packed. So I wanted to thank you and your staff and all the callers for all the help. I now know what the word contiguous means, and thank you, Mark, and the 14th Amendment, and I really, really appreciate it. So I wanted to add that into the mix because it's useful to stop every now and then and say, okay, what did go well? And one thing that went well was the amount of information that has been passed through on this show from people of different, very different perspectives and thoughts on items. And then I just wanted to respond just to Cassandra, and I think that I was going to be calling about Russia because it does seem like we're edging toward this stalemate. And it is an interesting question in terms of if you are living in your country and it's at a stalemate like this, what happens in terms of people standing up for their country? I think one example is not unlike that in the Soviet Union, which is, during World War II, the losses they took were absolutely in the millions and millions. I'm blanking at this moment what it is, but it was, 36 million, something gigantic in terms of the number of people killed in Soviet Union, and to the point where it was every boy, every old man, and women. And I think I've talked to you before about women who worked as snipers during World War II to great success. So it is a different perspective, I think, to sort of say, if it is your country, it's different. Those Russian soldiers, I got to believe, would love nothing more than to just go home and to not have to deal with this. But for the Ukrainians, it's a different story. I mean, this is it. This is it in terms of holding the line and how they're going to make it happen. So sadly, I think that's a tipping point we're at. There are a lot of other tipping points we're looking at ahead. And the thing that's going to help us is the kind of community that we have at a place like Civic Media, where all sorts of different voices are heard and a lot of information, not just opinion supported by nothing, but information and facts. And so I appreciate all that everyone does to make this work. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you, Joan. Happy New Year to you. I really appreciate that fine, wonderful call. Bob of Madison, you're up next. What's in your mind today, Bob?
Russian disinformation is the two big words. I'm thinking, McCarthy was looking for communists back in the 50s and stuff. We need a Senate committee to look at the Russian disinformation, the so-called Russia hoax, all the Trump connections, all the congressional connections and so forth ought to be explored systematically by a Senate committee to correspond to the weaponization committee in the House. We should have recognized that this is going to be a stagnant session and should have moved right to counter the Republicans that way, to set up a committee like that, I think, because there's so much treason going on, so much treason, and they're cutting off the Ukrainians at the knees, and the Russians think they can deplete their ammunition and overwhelm them right now is why they're surging, and it's all so disgusting. The old Republican Party would have doubled the amount that to give them instead of trying to hold it back. It's crazy.
Wonderful call, Bob. I agree with you 100%. Thank you very much. Dave of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Dave?
Yeah, this isn't necessarily a positional war, but it is a, static trench warfare kind of thing. But it is a war of attrition. And in a war of attrition, that usually the party that wins ultimately is the party that's bigger. And Russia has a economy about nine times the size. The only reason that the Ukraine is where they are is because they don't have the weapons. They don't have the arms. We haven't provided them with the arms. We provided them with some HIMARS, but you need some ammunition, to go with that. They need long range missiles to at least match the Russians, but they don't have anywhere near that. And So they're gonna have a lot of issues now. Russia also, they get their weapons from North Korea and Iran. North Korea, their entire military strategy has for decades and since the Korean War been all about artillery and trying to flatten Seoul just in case there's a hot war. And of course, Iran, they have a pretty large and military industrial complex, and so they're also supporting Russia. In addition, Russia has lots and lots of stores of old Soviet ammunition, including artillery. Ukraine doesn't have that. The only reason that Ukraine is not winning this war even decisively is because of They don't have sufficient weapons. You know, in the 1973 Arab-Israeli war, Israel was losing very, very badly. Israelis thought they were facing another Holocaust. I mean, and the Syrians had overrun much of the Golan Heights, and they were progressing towards their major population centers. And Richard Nixon saw that this was the case and did a massive arms transfer of arms to Israel, what they needed. And that was the decisive factor in the war. And it's also right. The decisive factor in this war, too. And right. They're not getting it, and the Republicans are holding it up.
Right. You know, I agree with you 100%. We should have gotten them F-16s and Patriot missiles a year or two ago, and we've got to get them long-range missiles. Joe Biden is very much onto that. You've had Republican intransigence, and now the Republicans are trying to hold up money for Ukraine. What they don't understand, forget morality. Ukraine is in the right. Russia, this is a genocidal act of sadism on the Russians' part. But what they, the Republicans aren't understanding is this is, if they want cheap, I'll give you cheap. For 5% of our defense budget, Ukraine is beating Russia and keeping them away from the Baltic states and Eastern Europe. And we don't have a single soldier over there getting killed. The Republican Party is not the party that you and I remember. It is simply a Trump fascist cult. Thanks for calling, Dave. Cam of Nina, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Cam?
Hey, I look at old war dogs like McConnell, and I see someone that's biting their tongue anytime they don't really want to go in line with their party when it comes to Russia, right? Because a lot of the newer, quote-unquote, Republicans that are in office, the MAGA ones, are very anti-Ukraine support, where war dogs like McConnell still have a deep-seated hate for Russia. And I think that, like playing with these guys and like trying to figure out like what we can do with it, I want support for Ukraine like most progressives do, but I don't know how we're supposed to get more people on our side when we're dealing with like the previous callers had mentioned, the disinformation, right? As a lawyer, or I apologize, I don't know if you're retired as a lawyer or not, would you agree in saying that like policy that impacts technology is some of the slower policy to implement and to research?
Well, yes and no. The excellent question, Cam. And I love getting calls from guys in your generation, because you're going to be the future of the country. And I think part of the issue of the problem is people who are younger now don't have, our generation was drafted. We don't have a draft now. But frequently, people in your generation, their parents weren't in the military either. Take a good hard look at going to the military, Cam. Go to Navy OCS. Go to Army OCS. Go to Air Force Officer Candidate School. Or enlist. It'll be good for you. Very, very good for you. And here's the deal. Ukraine is part of Western civilization. It's a European country, and it's being bombed, its maternity hospitals and schools, by sadism, by genocide, which is Putin. He's in the tradition of Stalin. He's not in the tradition of Gorbachev or Yeltsin. So we have not gotten them all the weapons that we should. When you talk to McConnell's a war dog, McConnell, I agree with him on Ukraine. And the younger people in the Republican Party that are anti-Ukraine are also anti-American. I'm very delighted to have you call. Coming up, we are going to have a brief respite, and then we're going to hear Bob Menendez. His motion to postpone his trial has been denied.
The Tap.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. Wish Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WisCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Toasting to the new year? This celebration has been going on around the world for thousands of years. Many revelers include resolutions for the year ahead. It's an opportunity for renewal and to set some goals, whether you focus on health, work, or relationships. Intentions to improve your life is the best possible thing to do for 2024. I'm Terry Barr, and from all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Well, I won't back
down. Welcome back to Mifflin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Alluded to Bob Menendez on trial for bribery and being an agent of Egypt without... This is a guy who was the head of the Foreign Relations Committee and not telling anybody. Gold bars in his mattress and cash and vehicles. He's going to trial in May. He brought a motion to continue it for a while because of all the discovery. That was just denied. I've always liked the guy up until now. I thought he was a very effective senator. But the problem is when you're doing that, you know, the Republicans finally voted to throw out George Santos, who is also criminally charged but not yet convicted. In my view, it's time for Menendez to step down. He says he's going to stay in, and he can, all the way through next November election, and then January is the turnover. But in doing it, what he's doing is he's really impairing not only the representation of New Jersey, his home state, but also the effectiveness of the Democratic Party, and especially on foreign policy in the U.S. Senate. So I was very glad to see the judge deny his motion. He'll go to trial if he's convicted. He'll appeal. He still doesn't necessarily have to step down, but at some point, Guy, enough's enough. Enough's enough. I want to get back to Ukraine because there were some excellent, excellent comments about Ukraine. I want to give you some facts. Ukraine has, as I say, 45 million people. About 7 million have, apparently 5 to 7 have left as refugees. They are magnificent standing up to the Russians. The Russians have about 145 million people. And they're basically in 11 time zones. It's the biggest, absolutely the biggest country in the world by landmass. And, you know, plenty of areas that there's hardly anybody there. A lot of gas and oil. I don't think we've done enough to support Ukraine. Ideally, if Russia didn't have nuclear weapons and they bomb maternity hospitals, schools, and all that, there would be like bombings in Moscow and St. Petersburg of apartments, and that would focus their attention quite quickly. The problem is they have nuclear weapons. We don't want to start a nuclear war, but Ukraine has shown we can bloody them up pretty well, basically driven them out of the western part of the Black Sea. Sunk their boat, their ships. The Russian military is a basket case. Somebody was talking about, well, can Ukraine win? All of this drip, 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 drip of headlines. Well, you know, stalemate. No, Ukraine is resisting a genocidal, sadistic attack that goes in, rapes women and children, kidnaps children, 20,000 of them, brings them to Russia. They claim they're going to, quote, beat the Ukrainian out of them, make them sing Russian songs, learn that their homeland is bad and all this. This is a Nazi state under this leadership. The people aren't that way. I've met the people. I've been to St. Petersburg and Moscow. Some very fine people. But they seem unable to get rid of the Stalins and the Putins. But here are some things they could do that Europe could do. And I think it's about time they did it. Number one, take the $300 billion that's on deposit in Western banks and use it to rebuild Ukraine and arm them. It's Russian money. Number two, I would take the money that oligarchs, Russian oligarchs have in the West and do the same thing. Number three, there is a city called Kaliningrad that used to be called Königsberg. Königsberg is on the Baltic in what had been Russia and had been Germany. And then after the Nazis lost the war, the Russians demanded that it be turned over to them. Foolishly, we said yes, because they had been part of the war effort, but it gave them a port on the Baltic. If you look at a map, the question is, how do they get to the port to resupply it? They either have to go through the Black Sea, out through the Dardanelles, into the Mediterranean, up the Atlantic, and into the Baltic, or they can just take a train from St. Petersburg across the Baltic states and get there pretty quick. Russia demanded that even though Putin has been determined a war criminal, even though they are genocidal, they still be allowed to run a train through the Baltic states to get to Königsberg, which has been renamed Kaliningrad after some communist leader 30, 50 years ago. The EU said, yes, I think they should revoke that. Russia shouldn't occupy Königsberg. Those of you who have read a philosopher called Immanuel Kant, he spent his whole life in Königsberg. That's where he wrote all his stuff. Critique of Pure Reason, Critique of Practical Reason. He didn't travel much. I don't think he left the town. Couple of other things. In the Senate right now, and I've told you this before, there are about 80 votes for Ukraine aid. In the House, there are at least 350, I think, certainly 330 to 350 votes for Ukraine aid. Everything is held up, which is hurting American foreign policy too. Why is that? Why are we letting a Tommy Tuberville or Rand Paul or a J.D. Vance or a Cruz or somebody like that just lift their finger in the air and shut it down? There's the filibuster. Why aren't there 9 Republicans who say, we want Ukraine aid? In the House, why doesn't Mike Johnson say, I know there's something like 150 to 180 Republicans who want Ukraine aid out of 221. Why doesn't he put a bill up? And when somebody, the Democrats will vote for it, and when somebody says the chair is vacant, he can hold 200 Republican votes, but he needs 18 more. Why don't the Democrats just go up to him and say, buddy, you're going to get the 18. We don't agree with that, a ton of stuff, but we know we're going to have a Republican speaker. Why does that not get done? Why are they still sitting on aid to Israel, our ally, who was the subject of a pogrom, a genocidal, sadistic attack by Hamas on October 7? Why are we permitting our allies to, in effect, be isolated? It's sending a message, and it's sending the wrong message. So these are some ideas. In addition, get them the F-16s. They say they're on the way. Train them quicker. Get it to them. Push back the Russians. They are an enemy of civilization and of the United States. Stand by for another great show. Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate. Happy New Year, everybody. All my callers, happy, happy New Year. Happy New Year to Calvin, my producer. And Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow after the New Year's. I'm signing off for today.
I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The retirement sale at Eric's Diamonds and Fine Jewelry is now entering its final phase. All fine finished jewelry is now being sacrificed up to 70% store-wide. All must go. Nothing held back. Selling to the bare walls. This store must be cleared. Don't miss what could be your last chance to save before this sale is over. Eric's Diamonds and Fine Jewelry Retirement Sale is in its final phase. Now save up to 70% off. All must go. 111 North Bridge Street, Chippewa Falls.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.